Tonight we'd like to talk about worry, anxiety, and fear. That's something we all face. You know, sometimes we won't admit it, but we do have that in our lives. We know that God's in control of everything, and that we are obedient to His Word and remain faithful, that we will have a home in heaven, but we know that we live in an imperfect world, and we're going to face struggles and trials and so forth. But, you know, we're going to look at several different verses tonight that should calm us as Christians if we take advantage of those things. But, you know, what else do we need to do? Sometimes we look at a passage and we go, well, you know, that offers comfort, but I'm not getting that comfort. And so what we hope to do tonight is to use several different verses where we see a blessing in those verses, but we also see some action that should take place on our part as well. And if we're not getting the blessing that we think we should, or what the Bible says that we should have, maybe we're not putting forth the effort for the action that's required there. I read this one time, I forgot where it was, but it was a little saying that said, God is in control, but He doesn't expect you or me to lean on a shovel and pray for a hole. So, you know, there's things that we need to do, and we need to action we need to take. And as we say, sometimes our faith and even our prayers need to have legs sometimes. You know, if we read some this week out of the Hebrews chapter 11 about the chapter on faith. But, you know, so many of those cases and examples in there about faith had some action right behind it. So we'll go through these and hope they'll be beneficial to you. To us. We'll start out with Matthew chapter 6, begin with verse 31. Matthew chapter 6, begin with verse 31. We shouldn't be anxious even about the basic necessities of life. In Matthew chapter 6, begin with verse 31. Jesus speaking here says, take no thought saying, what we shall eat, or what we shall drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we see a blessing there about us telling us not to worry about the basic necessities of life in verse 31. And in verse 33, telling us that all these things should be added unto us. But what about the action that might be needed on our part? In the first part of verse 33, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So maybe if we're not being blessed, if we should, and you know, not only would this be for us to know, but also those people we come in the world. You know, so many people question the Bible. And they might look at a verse just like this of going, well, you know, if the Bible is true and if God is real, why is this verse not happening for me? And, you know, it might be an answer that we might have for someone else as well. The next passage we want to look at is in Philippians chapter 4, begin with verse 6. It's basically saying, don't worry. Philippians chapter 4, begin with verse 6, as the Apostle Paul here speaking to the church at Philippi, says, be careful for nothing. And I've always taken that to be basically don't worry. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So it's a very familiar passage we've all read many times before. So we see several blessings that are available to us in this. In verse 6, we see be careful for nothing, which you mentioned earlier, that basically means not to worry. And then we see in verse 7 about the peace of God, which we all want in our lives. And again in verse 9, it says, the peace of God shall be with you. So what action things do we see in these same verses, that things that we should do? In verse 6, it says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So do we do that? Do we pray and give thanksgiving to God? And also, it talks about here in verse 8, to think on things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of a good report, and of virtue and praise, and to think on those things. And then Paul said these things which he had told us about to do those things, that we have both learned, received, and heard, and seen in Paul to do those things. So maybe if we have worry in our life, maybe if we don't have the peace of God in our life and the God of peace is not with us, maybe we're not doing those other things. Because, again, God is a merciful God. He wants to bless us. But, you know, He wants us to worship Him. He wants us to praise Him. He wants us to respect Him and His Word. Next, we'd like to look over to John chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. We see Jesus speaking here. It says, let not your heart be troubled. John chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. I've read this at a lot of funerals before, and it's certainly appropriate there. But, you know, there's comfort that we can get from this passage, even as Christians in this life. John chapter 14, beginning with verse 1, said, look, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Then we'll drop down to verse 15 in John chapter 14. Again, Jesus speaking, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he might abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. So again, we see several blessings that we can receive from this passage, even from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In verse 1, to let not our heart to be troubled. In verse 3, that he's gone ahead to prepare a place for us. That should be comforting to us. And in verse 6, Jesus tells us that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And he tells us in verse 16 that he will give us a comforter. In verse 17, even the comforter being the Spirit of truth. Well, what action do we see in these passages? In verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So, you know, I think sometimes we just look at the blessing and we don't necessarily want to do the actions. But if we do love Jesus, we will keep his commandments, and then we will be blessed if it's within God's will. Next, let's look over to 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning with verse 6. Cast all your care on God. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning with verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So in this passage, we see a blessing in verse 7 that we can cast all our care upon Him, knowing that He cares for us. But what action do we see that we need to take on our part? Verse 6 tells us we need to humble ourselves. And many times as humans, that's hard for us to do. We have many times have too much pride. Humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Also, He tells us in verse 8 to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And in verse 9, to resist steadfast in the faith. Again, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished as our brethren that are in the world. So here again, there's blessings to be had, but there's also action to be taken on our part as well. Next, let's look over to Ephesians chapter 6, begin with verse 10. How to battle worry and fear. Again, sometimes we don't want to really admit that we have worry and fear, but you know, there's a lot of things. As Brother Bill said in his prayer tonight, there's conflicts within our own country. There's wars going on in at least two different regions of the world, and you know, we're just so blessed here to have peace. But you know, it might not always be that way. And you know, as you see on the TV where they have warning sirens going off, people have to go to their basements or their bunkers and so forth. I'm sure it's very, very troubling. But we'll look in this passage of how to battle worry and fear. In Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10, the Apostle Paul here speaking to the church at Ephesus says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Now, that's a mouthful there in those few verses. But, you know, we look here at the blessings that we can receive. In verse 11, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because we know the devil's after all of us and trying to tempt us and trick us in every turn. In verse 12, we have a blessing about that, you know, that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness that this world and wickedness in high places, and we can be protected from that if we'll use the weapons that are provided for us. And again, in verse 13, to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Then in verse 16, to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and certainly we want to have that blessing in our life. And then in verse 18, for us to have perseverance. But what about the action? We start in verse 10. He's telling the brethren here at Ephesus to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. In verse 11, to put on the whole armor of God. And that's how we're able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We must put on that whole armor of God. Verse 13 says, take unto you the whole armor of God. And then verse 14, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth, and a breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, taking the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching. So it's a lot of action to be taken on our part. That we do those things, that we be prepared, And we're not going to be prepared if we don't study God's Word. And we don't understand, because the sword of the Spirit's the only offensive weapon in that list there. But that's what we're going to need to fight the battles against Satan. But there's a lot of defensive weapons as well. And we're going to need every one of them to be able to defeat Satan and the things that he'll come after us with. Next, we'd like to look over to 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, which talks about there is no fear in love. 1 John chapter 4, begin with verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. So again, the blessings we want to have, as it says in verse 18, that we not have that fear. And that we want to have that perfect love that casts out fear. And in verse 19, again, we want that blessing that he loves us. And of course, we will always have that. But what actions required on our part? That our love may be, in verse 17, that our love may be perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. So when should we have this boldness? Only on the last day, the last minute, or every day, or all the time? I think we know we're going to have that boldness all the time. And also, not our righteousness, but through claiming the righteous blood of Jesus Christ is the only way we're going to be able to be victorious in this life. So again, as we talked about at the beginning about God's in control, but he doesn't expect us to lean on a shovel and pray for a hole. He expects us to do things. He expects us to have action on our part. But what are you and I going to do with our shovel? Are we going to lean on it and pray for a hole? We need to start digging, not a physical hole, but a spiritually. We need to dig deep enough to bury all of our worry, anxiety, and fear. Dig into God's Word, the Bible, to study and learn so that we can serve and share the gospel with others. As we read about in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, we've used a couple of times this week already. But it's a very good passage. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I can't remember for sure who it was used to say this. I think it might have been Brother Wilbur, but he said, we will never live better than we know. You know, we can know to live right and not do it, but we'll never live better than we know. We have to know the scriptures. We need to have to dig into God's word. So when should we start digging? We'll start now. When should we stop digging? When we hear the trumpet sound. So we have to realize that we're going to face worry, anxiety, and fear in this life as Christians. But knowing we can find comfort in God's word. And of course, the biggest comfort we can find is obeying the gospel. If there's any here tonight never done that, we can assist you with that. And those that have strayed away or need the prayers of the church, we'll be glad to pray with you and for you. I appreciate everyone's attention tonight. We'll finish up our meeting here tomorrow night with a lesson entitled Always Ready. So if there's any here tonight, if we can be assistance to you in any way, we'd ask you to come while we stand and sing a song that's been selected.